started it very much to hate you, Toshin Einzai, Rev David Eisenberg.
We good, Yossi?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, good.
Good, okay. Fine. Feels like a press conference over here, each one of these things. Right. I want to continue with a topic that we discussed last time, and that topic is common kashrus shailus that come up. Last time we spoke specifically about Terechach Leves, comes up in Simon Sadik Dalid. And it's a shaila of having taken a milchik or a fleishik, a spoon, and putting it into something else that was of the other type. So let's say you had chicken soup and you put a milchik spoon in it, or you had milk and you put a fleishik spoon in it, and what the halacha was. Just to summarize again, what you need to realize is that there'll be three shailas. The shailas will be your pot, your food, and your spoon. You need to also figure out whether each one of them, well, the food is going to be the food, whether the spoon is ben yoimer or not, meaning it's been used in the last 24 hours with hot, either milchiks if you're dealing with fleishiks or fleishiks if you're dealing with milchiks. And if it has been, then you need to have shishim, you'll need 60, kenega, the amount of the spoon that's gone in to this milk or meat. And if you do have 60, you're okay. If you don't have 60, the food will become also, and that will also the plate. Okay, that's just a quick summary of what we discussed last time. I want to now move on to another shaila, a shaila that is very, very negea, and comes up very often. And I have discussed this partially in my shul before, but I will discuss this here, I think maybe a little bit more in detail. And that's the question of, sometimes things are not black and white as they seem. You will have something that's called becheskas fleishiks. Are we okay? It's working. Yeah? Not picking up. I'll bring it closer. Right. Picking up now? Let's try again. Hear it better now? Okay, thank you. Sorry. Now we're going to come to a different question, and that is the Cheskas Fleishik question. The questions of what's called Naparnat, of cooking different things in different pots. If you've cooked pasta in a milchik pot, will the pasta become milchik thereby, or will it not? Or you've cooked pasta in a fleishik pot, can you put cheese on top of it, etc., etc.? That kind of a question. So let's start with the following. I always say this, and I'll say this again, and that is, you have to first of all know the mitzvahs. When you go into certain shops, now we'll talk about restaurants first. You go into restaurants and you want to buy yourself chips, and it says on the wall, everything in this restaurant should be treated as if it is fleishik. Right? Certain things will be treated as if they're fleishik. Certain things will be fleishik. I'm not talking about the meat now. I can talk about even chips. For example, I've seen it in Eretz Yisrael. I've seen it here in England. You go to certain restaurants, they will not only fry in the deep fryer chips, but I've seen them fry schnitzel. So if you take the schnitzel and throw it into the deep fryer, so if you have shishim in the oil, kenega the schnitzel that you've thrown in, then maybe you're okay, then your oil has not become fleishik. But there's a good chance that the oil might not have shishim, kenega the schnitzel that you've thrown in now. Now your oil is properly fleishik. Any chips you're going to make afterwards in that oil need to be considered fleishik. Properly fleishik. That is not a question of nat by nat. It's not a question of, you know, maybe at the point when you put in the chips, there's no more, you know, you could be frying the schnitzels, take out your schnitzels, and then put in the chips. You say, well, at this point, there's no more schnitzel inside the oil.
Do the chips make you fleishik? You can have a coffee an hour later.
Okay, that's a different shaila. We won't discuss that shaila today, maybe a different time. The chips make you fleishik or not. There are shittas that will hold, yes, the chips will make you fleishik as well, because the chips will be considered fleishik. It's like a potato from the cholent. Eating a potato from the cholent, would that make you fleishik or not? Okay? So, that is, as far as that's concerned, that's not only true, by the way, for fleishiks, it could also be true for milchiks. Been to milchiker restaurants where they serve fried mozzarella sticks. Don't know if you've ever had them, but they have breadcrumbs. You take a mozzarella stick, which is a stick of cheese. You put breadcrumbs on it, and they deep fry it, and they bring it out. They're about as fattening as anything you can imagine, and they're terrible for your heart and terrible for your cholesterol, etc., etc., but taste very good, as most of these things do. And they will make your deep fryer milkic. They will, because you've now taken a deep fryer, you've taken a whole stick of cheese, thrown it into your deep fryer, all the chips that you're going to make in there afterwards are going to be milchig. There's no shaila to be asked whatsoever. And that is not what we're discussing. What I'd like to discuss is the other way around. So, let's give you a few examples of what could happen. For example, one of your kids, your wife made pasta tonight for supper, and she made with the pasta, we decided you're having fleischig, you're having the pasta, whether you're having spaghetti bolognese, or that you might be having meatballs, whatever with it. But the pasta was not cooked with the meatballs as such. You have the pasta cooked in one pot, a fleischig pot, and you have the meatballs cooked in another pot. Now you've drained the pasta, it's sitting there, and one of your kids says to you, "Daddy, I don't like meatballs." Oh, there's always one of them, right? I don't like something for supper. There's always going to be one who complains, and you'll always need to make at least two suppers. Some houses make three, some houses make four, and some houses are very machmer. They don't allow anything. One and one is it, and if you don't eat it, then it's your tough luck. So one of the kids is now complaining, "I don't like pasta with meatballs. Can I take some of the pasta, put it in a plastic plate, and put on some cheese?" Right? The pasta was cooked originally for the meatballs. But the pasta has not been cooked with the meatballs, it's just been cooked in a fleischig pot. Does that make your pasta fleischig now? Does it make it cheskas fleischig? Does it mean I can use cheese with it or not? That will be the shaila. Okay? The shaila can become not only in such an instance, the shaila can become even in an instance, let's say you're gone on holiday, and you didn't want to schlep too much stuff with you, so you're not taking an urn, but you want a hot drink on Shabbos. So what do? You take a pot, you put it on the oven, on the hot plate, and you boil the water before Shabbos, you put it on the hot plate, and hope that the water stays warm enough to be able to have a hot drink. You didn't want to put a milchik pot on the hot plate, because you're going to have all your fleishiks there on Friday night, you're going to have your chon, you're going to have your chicken soup. It's not very good practice. It's not a good thing, because if you get any spills, you could start trafing up your entire hot plate and your pots and everything. It's definitely not a good idea to have a milchik pot in such close proximity with all the other fleishig pots. So you took a fleishig pot, you filled it with water, you boiled it up, all that's in there is water, and now, Shabbos morning, you want to make yourself a coffee. So you want to take off. How you get the water out is a different discussion, but let's say you're holding it, somebody else takes a ladle, ladles out some water into a cup, and we put it straight back on. You held on to it the whole time, and you made sure that all the different tnaya chazara were adhered to, so now you can put it back onto the fire. So now you have a question. You have this water that's been boiled in a fleishig pot. Have this water that's been boiled in a fleishig pot that is now being used to make a milchig coffee. Because you're going to be putting milk in it. Are you allowed to put milk in this coffee? Do you have to drink the coffee black because you've now cooked the water? Boiled the water in a fleishig pot, how could you put milk in it afterwards? Or do we have another heter? Okay? These are the shailas that we're going to deal with. So again, we're going to work our way through it. You always have to work your way through it in halacha, specifically when it comes to kashrus, to understand what the issues are. If there are any issues, are we able to get around the issues? What's lechatchila? What's b'diavad? So let's work our way through it. There is a concept in halacha that is known as nat bar nat. Nat bar nat is noisein tam ben noisein tam. The problem with not by not, especially when you give a shir in English, is to be able to tell the difference between not, N-O-T, and not, nois and tam. So I'm going to try to use the word nois and tam as much as I can, so as not to confuse anybody, because when sometimes people start talking, specifically when I've heard shirim on Bas B'Cholim in English, you confuse the entire crowd, because you don't know what you're talking about when you say the word not. So, we start as follows. Until now, all we've discussed is when you actually have food in your pot that is either milchik or fleishik. And so therefore you're cooking milk to make hot chocolate, and now you stuck a fleishik spoon in it. You're making chicken soup, and you put a milchik spoon in it. You have some food that is properly fleishik, or you have some food that is properly milchik, and now you've taken a spoon of the other type and put it in there, now you have to discuss what you can do with it. However, now we've moved on to something else. So the first thing we're going to discuss is ben yoimai. You have a pot that is ben yoimai. That means you have just cooked chicken soup in this pot. This is going to be the first case we're going to mention. We're then going to mention a case of ein ben yoimai. But the first case is going to be you have a pot that you've cooked chicken soup in it. You've now cleaned it very well. There is no chicken soup in it left whatsoever. Fully clean. At this point in time, we have defined this pot as fleishik, and if you were to go ahead and to put milk into this pot and cook milk in this pot, you would treif up the pot and you would treif up the milk. Because there is tam, there is taste from the fleishiks that remains within this pot, that remains balua, swallowed up within the walls of this pot, and therefore, if you were to cook milchiks in this pot at the moment, you would definitely treif it up. But you've not gone and you've not cooked any milchiks in this pot, but rather what you've done is, you've made a pot of pasta. You've taken spaghetti, you've taken whatever pasta it might be, it could be rice, whatever it is, anything that, you've taken something that is not fleishik or milchik, you have something neutral, pariv, that's been cooked in this pot. And now we have the concept which we said is nois and tam, bar nois and tam. It gives taste, the son of giving taste, which is described in the Taz over here. Let's see, what was the Taz? Yeah, the Taz says, he mentioned this is probably not even his own days, but it's in the Rishonim already, that you have a very weak taste that's in here. You've cooked your soup. There's a bit of taste from the soup that made its way into the pot. Now you're cooking your pasta. There's a bit of taste from the pot that's going back into the pasta. That already is a second level taste. That's called nois and tam, because it's had one taste from the food into the pot. Bar nois and tam, the son of nois, another nois and tam, which came from the pot into the pasta. So now you're already two steps removed from this. We'll make a point over here, and a very important point, and that is it depends also what was in the pot. Let's say, if for whatever reason, by mistake, you used a pot that was treif, here we're talking about a fleishig pot. So what you have is nat bar nat, nois and tam bar nois and tam, de hetera. Because if I cook pasta in a fleishig pot, has anything happened to this pasta? Anything that is untoward, anything that is wrong happened to this pasta? Not whatsoever. The only question over here is, maybe it became fleishik. That's the worst that could happen. Maybe it became fleishik in a way that you wouldn't be able to eat it with milk now. If you were to eat this pasta now, nobody would tell you that you would have to wait 3 hours. That's for sure. You don't have to wait 3 hours on this. The worst thing that could happen is, now if I want to sprinkle cheese on it, I wouldn't be allowed to do so. But let's say I had a pot that was mamish osur. Either somebody messed up with a pot and it became basar b'chalav, or somebody used a pot that belonged to a non-Jew, that a non-Jew had cooked something treif in it, and now you go ahead and now you have... You're going to cook something neutral in it, rice, pasta, something, potato, something like that. There we turn around and we say, not by not, nois and tam of isura, of something that is osur, that asurs no matter how many steps away you get. Here the question is, was not by not the hetera, nois and tam of something that is mutter? It's just fleishik. So you have something that's fleishik now. Can you now go ahead and can you take these pasta and eat it together with milk or not? So here we have a machlokes Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, which will make a nafka minna for Ashkenazim and for Sfaradim. And that's as follows. If you have, let's say you have cooked your pasta, and then one of your children says, you know what, I fancy having it with cheese. This has been cooked in a fleishig pot, the pot has been yoimos, it has got Blias in it that has still been yoimai, but there has been no fleishik whatsoever cooked with this pasta. According to Shulchan Aruch is of the opinion that if it's already nat bar nat, if you've already cooked it and now you want to mix it together with cheese, be my guest. So if you are Sephardi, you can take that pasta lechatchila, put on, sprinkle on cheese, and there's no issue whatsoever. Because we say, nois and tam bar nois and tam, you can put on something lechatchila. The Ramah argues with this. The Ramah says, no, it's not so straightforward. You cannot do nois and tam by nois and tam lechatchila. You cannot go ahead and sprinkle cheese on it lechatchila. However, let's say you came into the room and one of your kids had decided to help himself, make themselves comfortable. He took some of the pasta, he sprinkled some cheese on it, and you come and you go, what are you doing? He says, well, I didn't fancy meatballs, so I took a plastic spoon. There was no fleishiks, no visible fleishiks. There's no fleishiks in this pasta whatsoever. I put it in a plastic bowl, I sprinkled on some cheese, and this is what I'm having for supper. You can have your meatballs, enjoy. Then you have to throw it out? Says Rama, no, absolutely not. Lechatchila, I'm not allowed to go ahead and I'm allowed to take this and sprinkle cheese on it, because nat banat still remains that it's not lechatchila. You cannot, according to Rama, go ahead lechatchila and mix something else into it. But b'di'evit, should something else have been mixed into it already, then at that point you would be allowed to eat it together. So if you go to a restaurant and the restaurant is being described as b'cheskas fleishiks, they will often say to you, and you say to them, what does it mean, it's becheskas fleishiks or becheskas milchiks? So for example, it's becheskas fleishiks, they will tell you, you cannot eat these chips together with milk. Okay? That's what it will mean. So if you have an issue, if they're properly fleishiks, like we said before, in certain restaurants where they've actually made the chips in the same deep fries, they've made schnitzel, that's not only becheskas fleishiks. Then if you mix that with a milchik dish, you could throw it out. That's treif. But if they're just considering the entire restaurant fleishiks for ease of use, you know, you start saying, this is parv, this is not parv, you can't, you know what, it's easier. Very often, kashrus authorities, they don't want to go ahead and they want to give you a whole balagan about everything. They just want it to be simple. Somebody said that they in America, certain hechsherim, I think the Vadats also, the Vadats El Charedis in Eretz Yisrael, they actually have on certain products, they'll say, Berchosoi Shehakol. Berchosoi Mezonis. On certain products, they'll actually tell you the bracha to be made on it. Because certain things are, you know, are easy. They're not going to put on pretzels, you know, anything else other than Berchosoi Mezonis. And I don't even know if they put Berchosoi Mezonis on pretzels, because there's no Shaila. But sometimes you have complicated things. Whether it is reconstituted food, you know, whether these, you know, these flutes or the Pringles or things like that, that come from food that's been made, they made some sort of mush out of it, reconstituted into another food, and now you have this food. So what bracha do you make on it? Or whether you have chocolates that are mixed together with pieces of biscuits and nuts and things like that, and what kind of bracha do you make on it? So they put on it just a one-liner. And somebody said, you know, you could have somebody write a tshuva of 10 pages and they've put it down to two words. Birchosoi shehakel. Birchosoi mezoinus. Same thing. Akashas authority, they don't want to start giving you a lumdus. Yeah? They just want to give you a rule. Nachum David in Delhi and Dine, what's the rule for what does the Machzikadah say? Everything's becheskas fleishiks. How do they say, how do they put it out?
The whole
count
is becheskas fleishiks.
Yes?
No, it's not fleishiks. You can't eat it together with milchik.
You can't eat anything together with milchik, but right, that's what Masih Gadas has said as far as Delhi and Dine is concerned, right? For the non-fleshic items on the counter, do they ensure that the non-fleshic and the fleshic items stay? Is there a certain way of ensuring that they don't mix together?
No, it's not mixed together,
so it's not mixed. Okay, you have to make sure that they stay separate. As long as you use separate spoons and things like that, that you know, if you have the people behind the counter, if they don't know what they're doing, and so they take a bit of the ichveis, sweet and sour chicken, and then you ask for a bit of rice, they take that same spoon and put it into the rice, and use it to give you the rice onto your plate, whatever you're going to order, so then you might have an issue, because you've now taken a spoon that's got real fleishiks on it, and spooned out some rice. So as long as they know to keep the thing separately, then you say, this is becheskas fleishiks. However, even if we say it's becheskas fleishiks, what will end up happening is, that if you went ahead and you had some of the rice from Delhi and Dine with milchiks, but yevet, it's not treif. Because the rice has not been cooked as fleishik as such, right? There's nothing fleishiks within the rice. It's just been cooked in a fleishik kitchen. But we say, for ease of use and for ease of people to know, this consider it fleishik. Because if you consider it fleishik, you know, you have an easier time.
So these chips now, I've gone to a restaurant and had some chips. So first of all, do I have to wait 6 hours? Do I have to be soymich that they have cooked schnitzels in that oil?
You have to ask them. You don't have to be soymich one way or another. You know, some people are very, very particular about keeping these things separate. They'll have a special small deep fryer for the. I don't know. I can't. I'm sorry. I can't say most. I have no statistics whatsoever. I cannot give any statistics whatsoever on restaurants. I know I have seen restaurants do it, but I cannot say that every restaurant does it. So you could have Fleishik restaurants where they wouldn't put the schnitzel into the deep fryer, and they would have a special deep fryer just for the schnitzels. I can't take any responsibility for that.
You don't know. Do you have to wait 6 hours or not?
I don't know. I think there's too many shilas involved. There's too many. You need to call back. You need to call the actual restaurant. There are too many shilas involved in this. First of all, you have to wait 6 hours on something that's been cooked together in the oil of the thing. Then you don't even know if that's happened. So it could be that you wouldn't have to wait 6 hours. But what you really should do at that point is maybe call up. But you know, they might not remember. I don't know how long. How long do they use the oil for? How long do they use an oil or deep fryer for? Do they have to change the oil every day, legally speaking, for hygiene purposes? Don't know. Pardon? I don't know. You know, I don't know. It's, you know, these are all questions. You know, it could, because if you call, you say, well, today we didn't put any schnitzel in it. That's fine. But if the oil, let's say, if legally speaking they're allowed to use the oil for 3 days, then any good restaurant that wants to be efficient will use the oil for 3 days. Why should they spend so much money on refilling it with oil if they can use it for 3 days? The fact that they didn't do any schnitzel in it today doesn't mean that on Tuesday, 2 days ago, that they did put in, and they might not even remember. So you're left with all sorts of svekas. It's not so poshut. I don't know if you could turn around and say that you should mamish consider fleishik that you shouldn't be able to have coffee afterwards. I think there's enough stodim lahokal to say that you shouldn't. But if you know, then the shayla gets a little bit bigger. Okay, that is all. Everything we've said so far is if the pot is ben yoymoy. If the pot's been used in the last 24 hours for fleishiks or milchiks, then if I've cooked something else, something neutral in it afterwards, and the pot was clean, within those 24 hours I have to be careful not to mix it lechatchila. At least according to Ashkenaz and lechatchila, you have to be careful not to mix it with the other min. If you did, you're okay. What happens if it's not ben yoymoy? So if it's not ben yoymoy, so now you have another step away. Because we've already said it. Remember, we've said in the Taz that a nat bar nat is considered a tam kolush, a weak taste. Doesn't really have a lot of koyach to it. We spoke out last time that if you take a pot and you leave it for 24 hours of not having cooked fleishiks in it, or 24 hours of not having cooked milchiks in it, then whatever little taste remains inside that pot is called pogum. It's a taste that has already gone stale and will not affect the food. So now we not only have a tam kolosh, we not only have a weak taste we're dealing with, we also have a taste that's not only weak, but it's also stale. So now you have another thing to add to the cheshbon. Can you go ahead and now lechatchila do it? So let's say you have a pot. So let's go through the different shayles, the different variations of this. You have a pot that is not ben yoymoy. This pot has not been used in the last 24 hours for fleishiks. And you've decided to make pasta, or your wife's decided to make pasta, and you make that pasta, and you finish making the pasta, and your son turns around to you and he says, Daddy, I don't fancy having fleishik pasta tonight, I would like to have milchik pasta. Can you now take it? It was, again, remember, the pot was not ben yoymoy, it was not used in the last 24 hours. Can I now take some of that pasta, put it in a plastic bowl for him, and sprinkle some cheese on it? The answer is yes. Why? Because now you already have another level further down. You not only have nat by nat, you not only have noisen tam by noisen tam, you also have noisen tam by noisen tam, which is also einam in yoyme, which has also not been used in the last 24 hours. You put the two together already, then even the Ramo will agree that you can do that l'chadchila. Even Ashkenazim can do that l'chadchila. Of course the Sfaradim could do it, because the Sfaradim said, once I've cooked it already, then l'chadchila I could do it even if the pot was ben yoymoy. But then Ashkenazim said, I could only do it b'dievid once I've mixed it together, but not l'chadchila. But once the pot is not ben yoymoy, then I can even do it l'chadchila. However, there's one more shaila that needs to be asked, and that's the following question. Can I lechatchila use a pot which has not been yoymoy, a fleishik pot which has not been yoymoy, to heat up pasta to then have it with cheese. So there already it's not so poshut. Because even though we said, if you've cooked the pasta already, you can now take lechatchila from this pasta and mix it with cheese. Can I cook it lechatchila? Can I now cook in a fleishige pot that has not been yoimoy? Al das, knowing full well what I'm going to do with that pasta, is I'm going to mix it together with cheese. So there already, I spoke to a Rishon about it this morning, and he said to me that it depends. Here it again depends on the situation of lechatchila and bidyevet. And we'll define it as follows. Bidyevet is not only defined as a situation that, ex post facto, after it happened, what do we say? But sometimes bidyevet is also defined as a situation where I don't have anything else. So let's say, you've gone on holiday, and you've only taken a certain amount of fleishig pots with you and a certain amount of milchig pots with you. And for whatever reason, your family is very milchig oriented and not so fleishig oriented. So you've taken a lot of milchig pots and only one fleishig pot. Or vice versa. Your family is very fleishig oriented and not milchig oriented. So you've taken tons of fleishig pots and only one milchig pot. So now you're making a milchig sauce in that milchig pot. And you need to make pasta. Okay? Now what are you going to do? You want the pasta to be hot. You want your sauce to be hot, and you can't cook the two at the same time. So now you're already in a situation which is called a bidyevet situation. You don't have anything else. Okay? Bidyevet doesn't mean, can even be before the fact, before anything has happened. I only have a fleishig pot now. The only pot I have to be able to cook this pasta in is fleishig. So then therefore we say that's bidyevet. And you can go and you can cook the pasta within that fleishig pot that has not been yoimoy, and mix it with your milchig sauce, lechatchila. However, should you have a few milchig pots and a few fleishig pots at home? You're home, you're not on holiday, there's no issues, there's no questions of not having all the items that you need. And now you want to go ahead and you want to make yourself pasta for milchig pasta, let's say you've made yourself a cheese sauce and you want to make milchig pasta, then you cannot take out a fleishig pot, even if the fleishig pot has not been yoima, has not been used in the last 24 hours, you cannot lechatchila use that pot to make yourself milchig pasta. But you have other pots. Should you have already done it, then you can mix it lechatchila with the milchig pasta. But you cannot make a lechatchila out of not by not, even if it's ain't ben yoimai. You cannot say, nah, who cares? There's all these different taste issues. Forget about the taste issues. It's not ben yoimai. It is not by not. Noisin tam, noisin tam. Let's not be so machmir. Let me use a fleishig pot. It's my best pot. It makes the best pasta. Can't do that. You're going to have to use a milchig pot for milchig pasta, or a fleishig pot for fleishig pasta. Should you have already made it, and then you realize, wait, the kids don't want fleishigs, they want milchigs, I can take that pasta, transfer it to something else, and then keep it there, and sprinkle cheese or any cheese sauce all over it, and that'll be lechatchila okay.
We say there's some kind of Eva Ben-Yoyim.
Yes.
If, therefore, you have to inquire in a restaurant whether they can tell you, or you rely...
So it's interesting. In a restaurant, it's not so posher to say Stam Kelim and Yoimim. Let me take a step back and let me just explain what you're saying, and then let's go back to that. And there's the tshuvas about it, and that's as follows. Because it comes up very often in factories, yeah. The question of Stam Kelim and Yoimim, and that is to say, when you have a keli, you have a vessel, and you don't know, has this vessel been used in the last 24 hours or not been used in the last 24 hours? So then we say that there's a rule that's called Stam Kelim Einam in Yoimun. We assume that in general, any vessel that you have has not been used in the last 24 hours for fleishiks or milchiks. That's if you don't know. If you know, you know. You can't say, well, I know I used it for in the last 6 hours to cook myself fleishiks, but Stam Kelim Einam in Yoimun, ignore it. Can't do that. That's not some Kalim. But you have a Kalim, you ask your wife, did you use this pot in the last 24 hours? I don't know. I don't know either. You can be sorry, Mech, that's not been loosened in the last 24 hours. However, that only applies in an instance of a regular kitchen. Every housewife has, base, 3, 4, 5, 8, 10 pots. I don't know, depending on how big a balabusta she is. But she'll definitely, from fleishigs and from milchigs, I would venture a guess that every regular housewife has at least 5 of each pots. In different sizes, different strengths, etc., etc. So even if you've made milchigs in the last 24 hours, this one, you use the other one, you made it bigger, you made it smaller, who knows which ones you've used. So since you don't know, if you know, you know, but since you don't know, we say, Stam Kelim Ein Min Yoimun. You can be Soy Mechik Keli, if you don't know what it is, it's not Min Yoimun. that we consider it as if it's not been used in the last 24 hours. However, go to a restaurant or go to a factory. Factories, I've not been to factories, but I take this on good authority, factories don't like being inefficient. The whole point in a factory is to run it as much as you can, to produce as much as you can, and to keep the machine rolling. As a machine keeps on rolling, they keep on making money. They shut down the machine, they're losing money. And so the assumption in a factory would be, and similarly, the assumption in a restaurant, you cannot assume that a deep fryer in a restaurant is Eina Ben Yoimai. The only time you can assume a deep fryer, and you could hope a deep fryer is Eina Ben Yoimai, is Matzah Shabbos or Sunday morning if they didn't open Matzah Shabbos. Yeah? Because if it was Ben Yoimai, then you have a problem that somebody's using the restaurant on Shabbos. That's a separate issue. Okay? But you should assume that it's not Ben Yoimai. Other than that, if, you know, if you walk into whatever restaurant it's going to be, JS, Milky Dream, Tom, Tasty Pizza, whatever it is, they sell chips all the time. Well, yeah, they just on Wednesday decided they're turning off the deep fryer, they're not making chips. It's no chips Wednesday today. They don't do that kind of thing. It's always running. It's always going to be, and therefore, in a restaurant or in any commercial situation where it makes sense that the equipment is on constant use, either every day, and sometimes even 24 hours a day or 18 hours a day, you cannot assume Stam Kelim Einam in Yoiman. You cannot assume that this vessel has not been used in the last 24 hours. Because sense and business mind tells you, chances are this has been used in the last 24 hours and probably been used quite a bit in the last 24 hours.
Even after Shabbos, they would wouldn't have emptied it out and cleaned it out there at Shabbos.
If they did, they did. You're right. If they didn't clean it out, so then after Shabbos you still have an issue because now you have kovash. You might have a different issue. If the oil was leishik. Yeah, but yeah, if that would be a question if you clean that before Shabbos or not. But we cannot assume in a restaurant a sam kelim einam in yoimim. Right. Okay. That was the shaila having to do with not by not. Again, to summarize. If the keli has been yoimai, if the vessel has been used in the last 24 hours, either with real fleishiks or with real milchiks, and remember, it has to be used with real fleishiks, with real milchiks, and the fleishik, the milchiks has to have been hot inside this pot, then the halacha is that, according to Shulchan Aruch, once you've cooked it, you can mix it with milchiks. And according to Ramah, you cannot mix it with milchiks lechatchila, but b'diavad, if you mix it with milchiks, then it is mutter. If it's not ben yoimai, then you still cannot cook it, specifically speaking, to eat it with milchiks if it's in a fleishik pot, unless either you don't have another pot, or once you've cooked it already and you've decided to use it with milchiks, even the Ramah will allow you to use it with milchiks. Now we move on to another shaila, and this shaila is known as Dov HaCharev. Dov HaCharev is a very, very important question that comes up. It comes up with onions, it comes up with other things, and one of the most common questions, there are certain questions that are very, very common in a kitchen. Very rarely will you have outlandish shailas that happen in a kitchen. Okay, you know, there's certain simonim that you learn that seem almost obscure. How often is that going to happen? And then once in a while, you hear from somebody a shayla, you go, wow, this happened. Somebody said to me, I think Rabbi Lozor Stefanski told me a story. He got a shayla. Somebody was in Spain and they had bought, there was like a small kind of a fish that was a delicacy, and you buy like a lot of these little fish together. And he bought them and he cooked them all together. And then when he opened it up, he found one prawn inside. Yeah? Now, how often has anybody had a shayla of a prawn in their food? Yeah, you know, it's not your standard. You know, it's not your standard kasher shayla. My guess is that Dine Westheim has not received the shayla so often. You know, what should I do with a prawn in my food? Because most people, you know, it's not going to happen. Here at Amdev Bin, that is these tiny little fish, and within 100 or 200 of these tiny little fish, there was one prawn. So what do you do with that? Okay, that's a separate shayla, not for now. But a very, very common shayla is shaylas that deal with Dov HaCharev, deal with onions. So you've taken an onion, many a times people take an onion and they onions are used extensively in cooking, they give very good taste. Baruch Hashem, the Baruch Hashem created such a wonderful thing called an onion, and it's used in so many different types of foods, and the onion is charif, it's sharp, it's pungent. And now the question is, if I were to go ahead and cut this onion with a fleishige knife, or I went ahead and cut this onion with a milchige knife, and then by mistake I took the onion and put it into a pot that was of the other type, will have tray for my pot, will have tray for my onions. If I then take a spatula or a wooden spoon and mix it around, do I have a problem with the spatula and the wooden spoon as well? These problems can compound themselves. You take these onions now and, you know, you've deep fried the onions, or you've just fried the onions, shallow fried the onions, you've cut them into small pieces, you've added them to a nice roast that you've made, and you've originally cut the onions with a milchiger knife. Or by mistake, you've put the onions in a milchiger pot. And then you put the onions into your fleischiger roast. Do I have to chuck out the whole roast now? Okay? It creates a lot of issues. Okay? So let's start. Let's go through some of the halachas slowly. We're definitely not going to finish this today. But let's start with some of the halachas and then move our way through it. And number one is, within davar charif, there's a machlokes, what is a davar charif? There's a machlokes, hapoiskim in the Rishonim already, what is considered sharp as far as this is concerned. Some say that it's only something called koiret shelchiltis. Kershachutis is a certain kind of vegetable that was very, very strong. And this vegetable being so strong, if you were to go ahead and you were to cut it, even with a knife that was clean and a knife that had not been used in the last 24 hours for fleishiks, you would still make the onion fleishik. However, all other vegetables, even if they're very sharp, whether it's hot peppers or whether it is onions or whether it is leek, you know, all kinds of different things that you might consider charif, those things, if you were to cut them with a knife which is clean and not ben yoimai, won't be an issue. Let's make things clear from the outset. Everybody agrees that if you have an onion and you have a knife that you've just used to cut some meat, yeah, let's say you're in your kitchen or your wife's in the kitchen and you're making some food, and very often you're using the same utensils, using the same knife. So you've just taken some meat, you've trimmed off the fat, and now that you've trimmed off the fat, you've thrown out the fat, you put the meat in the pot, you're ready to cut the onion and to put the onion in the pot. Your knife is going to have what now on it? It's going to have meat on it. There's going to be actual grease on the knife. Pardon? It doesn't matter in this case, because grease is grease. Yeah? If we want to talk about benyoimai and clean, then we're going to have to talk about hot. Right? But right now we're talking about grease. Grease is mamoshes, so that doesn't really make a difference. Or vice versa. You've just cut cheese. Again, cheese is very greasy. You've used a knife to cut some cheese, or you've used a knife to spread some butter. That could also happen. So if you've taken a knife, you spread some butter with it, and now you want to use that knife to cut an onion. The chances are, if you've used a knife to spread some butter or to cut some cheese, there will almost always be grease left on your knife. Therefore, you've now cut into the onion. What's happened? Some of that grease has ended up on the onion. It has to. There's no other way for things to happen. That's the natural things of it. You know, you have a knife, it's dirty, you're going to cut into the knife with this greasy. You cut into the onion with a greasy knife. Some of that grease will end up on the onion. That will for sure make the onion fleishik or milchik, depending on what you've just used it with. And you will need to be machmer if you've taken that onion and cooked it together with the other type. We'll have to see exactly how much you have to go ahead and how much you have to be machmer on it. Yeah, so it's different. So that the difference will be, so this, we'll mention this as the last point, and we'll stop with this. And that is, many people ask the question, can I go to the fishmonger in Tesco and buy fish there? Right? The fishmonger at Tesco, they have kosher fish, they have non-kosher fish. Can I go to them and ask them? Or Steve Watson, there's a fellow Steve Watson, beginning at Cheatham Hill, seems to be very, very popular with Yidden. He seems to be a very, very good fishmonger, everybody says. And he's got knives. I think somebody has actually told me that Steve Watson, because he got so many Jewish clients, he doesn't even sell shellfish. He only sells kosher fish. He doesn't even sell treifa fish. Don't know. Can you be soimach on a guy telling you that he doesn't sell any treifa fish? Maybe not. Probably not. Okay? But you've gone to Tesco. Let's say you've gone to Tesco. You see all these things on a bed of ice. You see your salmon and you see trout. And then next to it, you might see some mussels. Or some, you know, you see all these other things that are not kosher. And he's using the same knife for all of them. You've gone now and you want to buy. Tesco has a sale on salmon and you want to buy salmon for this at Tesco. So if you buy whole salmon, you're just going to take the salmon and going to wrap it. Of course you can do that. But you want to buy fillet. Can you have him now debone it and maybe cut off the skin and wrap it up for you nicely or not? So the halacha is, so again, You're saying over here, similarly it would be, you should have, the chances are there's going to be some grease from the treif of fish on the knife that he has now used to cut your fish. But as your fish is not a davar charif, it's not something that's sharp, so what happens is, yes, there might be grease, but where is that grease going to be? Pardon? It's going to be on the surface. Right? And therefore the halacha is, and this seems to be accepted, the most shame, if you were to ask them the shayla, can you go to a non-kosher shop and buy fish? The answer is, yes, you can, provided that A, you have watched the fish and know that the fish that they're giving you had scales on it beforehand, so you know it's a kosher fish, because if you're going to buy it without scales, other than salmon, you can't be soymich. Salmon, Dain Weslam says you can be soymich because it's the only pink fish around, and they wouldn't sell you that for anything else. But if you're getting a fish that's white, there are kosher fish that are white, there are non-kosher fish that are white. The fact that you get a white fillet doesn't mean that you have a kosher fish in front of you. How are you supposed to know? So you have to know, A, that it's had scales on it, so therefore you know it's kosher, and B, once you buy the fish, when you bring it home, you need to rinse it off and rub it under cold water. And you rinse it off and rub it under cold water, you've rubbed off any of the leftover grease that might have remained from the fish that might have been on there. You're not even sure that it was on there, but it might have been on there. You've rubbed it off. Once you rub it off, you can use it. And that's the same with a cucumber as well. If you've cut a cucumber, if you cut something else with a flesh knife that had grease on it, you might just be able to take a tiny slice off the cucumber. Anything that's beyond that, where the grease of that is not touched, is fine, because a cucumber is not charif. Where it's charif, where it's spicy, where it's pungent, it goes much deeper than that, and then we'll have to discuss exactly how far you have to go or what you have to do with it. Yeah. Wish you all a very nice bank holiday. Yeah. Yes, sir.
When it was the first 24 hours, you said at the end.
Yes.
What happens if you put it on the plate, not on the plastic plate?
So on a real plate. So even then, it's mutter. We say that it's not going. Yeah, yeah. Dog and Shalabikara. Yeah, it's mutter. The plate doesn't. No, not plate.